The BP CEO is back in the UK.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. British oil giant BP seems to be containing the oil gusher again after a collision of some of its equipment a mile under the surface of the Gulf of Mexico. For a time yesterday, oil was spewing at previously high levels until a fix was made. A complete fix, of course, would help give company CEO Tony Hayward his life back. But for now, he's out of the spotlight. The beleaguered exec is no longer running the British oil giant's cleanup operations. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
Once he was everywhere, on the Gulf Coast, on Capitol Hill, on the nightly TV news. Then suddenly, Tony Hayward disappeared. He failed to show up at a major oil industry gathering in London. Another public appearance was also cancelled. Now we know why. Hayward has been replaced, not as chief executive, but as BP's boss in the Gulf. That job has now gone to an American BP executive who comes from Mississippi. This just may help the company's shattered reputation, says oil analyst Nick McGregor.
There'll be a greater degree of empathy when people see somebody who is from one of the Gulf states standing there and saying BP cares about what's happening here.
But still, the question remains, where is Tony Hayward? BP's press office says they never comment on the chief executive's whereabouts. But one commentator here reckons that Hayward is enjoying his lower profile and sailing his yacht on the unpolluted waters off the southern coast of England. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A lackluster economic assessment from the U.S. Federal Reserve has kept world markets mostly lower today. European stocks are off at the moment, as much as 1% in Paris. Asian markets were mixed. Japan's Nikkei was flat for the most part. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 4 points, a small fraction of 1%, ending the day at 10,298. The S&P and NASDAQ each lost about 0.33%. We all know the symbol for the U.S. dollar. England's pound sterling has a cursive letter L with a line through the middle. In fact, lots of world currencies have a symbol, but not Indian rupees. They're traditionally represented by the plain old English letters RS. Until today, India's government will, in the next few hours, unveil a new symbol for the rupee, and that's led Marketplace's Rico Galliano to wonder, does anyone really care?
Well, Indians care a lot. That's according to Gunjan Bagla. He's a director at Amrit Inc., helping U.S. companies do business in India.
There is a desire among the Indian public as well as the Indian government to assert their position in the world. This is a symbol that will get reflected in usage by financial publications worldwide. You know, it may make its way onto computer keyboards eventually.
India is not the only emerging economy to try this. In fact, Douglas Mudd of the Money Museum in Colorado says India may have been spurred on by Russia, which has been trying to popularize a ruble symbol for the last 3 years. Mudd says the design of these symbols can be the subject of fierce national debate.
Where previously they were just symbols and they were important only in that they represented a currency. Now the symbols have become a source of pride in some way, or at least a source of nationalist focus.
India avoided some controversy by holding a design contest. The new rupee logo wasn't invented by politicians. It was selected from thousands submitted by Indian citizens. I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
A lot of folks really get into cruises to Alaska or a romantic ocean liner off to the Caribbean, even a riverboat ride up the Mississippi. Now there's a new boat trip that explores commerce instead of just the coastline. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll takes a ride on the first urban ocean cruise.
On a sunny afternoon in Long Beach, California, dozens of tourists and locals board a small passenger boat. It's moored outside of an aquarium.
This is the Caroline, and we're getting ready to go on the very first urban ocean cruise.
Jerry Schubel is director of the Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. It's about a half hour south of Los Angeles. Schubel started the Urban Ocean Cruise to educate passengers about this piece of very productive but also very fragile coastline.
We will be going into the inner parts of the nation's two largest ports, so we will take them places that they probably would not notice on their own.
The cruise covers the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, which handle almost 40% of all U.S. cargo traffic. Passengers pay $30 for a view of rusty cranes, massive container ships, and hulking power plants. High school senior Natalie DeLosa is unimpressed. She thinks the ports are kind of a gross place to visit.
You know how Paris has like the tours of the sewers? I think it's a lot like that.
The urban boat cruise does mention sewage and other environmental concerns. The aquarium talked to fishermen, longshoremen, shipping companies, and even surfers to understand how people and wildlife interact with this busy harbor. The tour highlights ways the ports try to cut down on pollution, and passengers also hear how they can keep sea life swimming in cleaner waters.
Any trash, chemicals, fertilizers, pesticides that end up in our streets get washed down storm drains and carried out right here where the LA River meets the Pacific Ocean.
But for some passengers, the Urban Ocean Cruise is just one big boat ride. William Baresh is 7 years old.
You get to go under a drawbridge, see trains, see sea lions playing with seagulls. It was a very fun cruise.
Schubel needs at least 50 passengers every cruise to make the harbor tour viable long term. He'll wait until Labor Day to decide whether to change course or to continue full steam ahead. In Long Beach, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, Chrysler is tipping its hat to the man of the family by producing a minivan for him. The Wall Street Journal reports the so-called man van for dads in development now will look a lot like its more traditional counterpart for moms. But there'll be a handful of macho accoutrements, a scoop in the hood, air vent over the engine, and it'll go 0 to 60 as fast as dads can change a diaper. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.